All right. Last but not least, I want to welcome our very special guest for today. And so today we have Reverend Wayne Spriggs. He is our district superintendent for the Central Pacific District, of which our church is a part. So Wayne actually arrived in California just a few months before I did. And so my whole time here has been under his leadership. I've been very thankful for how he's led our district, and also excited for where God may be leading you beyond here, Wayne. But we just want to welcome you to share from God's word to us today.
Thank you, John. One of the delights I've had is attending some of the Chinese Association prayer meetings. And several times, John and I have sat beside each other or near each other during lunch, and it's been fun to get to know you. I also want to give thanks to the Lord for the service that your lead pastor and his wife provide for the Christian Missionary Alliance family. Some of you may not know, but Pastor Ted is a member of the board of directors of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and so we thank God for his service. And his dear wife, Sandy, my friend Sandy, has served in our district as the secretary of our district executive committee. She also served on the search committee for a new district superintendent. And so thank you, church, for sharing this dear couple with the Christian Missionary Alliance. And I know Ted's upstairs with the Mandarin congregation today, but Sandy, thank you for your service. I appreciate you very, very much. And it's a joy to be here with you today. I had the privilege of being in the Cantonese service, and now I'm here with you, and then I'll be with New Vine this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And so it is a delight. I think some people are concerned that I'm overdoing it today. Listen, it is a joy just to be in your midst. And thank you for leading us in worship, brother. That was just beautiful to sing songs of praise to the Lord and to have fellowship with our God together. I had the privilege in my journey of serving at one point in the state of Vermont. And in my church, one of our elders was also a medical missionary doctor. And he was seconded after the time that he was actually on home assignment in our church. He was seconded to a mission in the country of Nepal. And sometime later, Dr. Paul and I got together, and we were in my living room enjoying some fellowship together. And he said to me, Wayne, you know, when I got to Nepal to serve with this mission that was not his home mission, it was a mission that he was seconded to, he said, I discovered to my disappointment that the missionaries had lost their way. And I said, well, Paul, what do you mean they lost their way? Well, he said they were still doing very good medical missionary work. In other words, they were healing physical needs of people and doing a good job of that. But he says, I got to know them. I discovered that they had forgotten that the missionary work that they had been called to through using a medical model was intended to introduce people to Jesus Christ. And he said, to my surprise, they had seemingly completely forgot their way. And as I was reflecting on what Dr. Paul shared with me that day, I thought how easy it is for us to lose our way. Even in the church, we can get consumed by a lot of good things and forget why we're primarily here on earth and what it is that God's called us to. So I want to this morning take us back to basics. And the basics are found in something we call the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to turn there in just a moment. And so I pray today that you will be encouraged and you will be strengthened and you will be renewed in why we exist as a church, the church of Jesus Christ. So let me pray with us as we begin this morning. Father, we pray that you will indeed speak to us through your word. We have sung praises to your name. We have rejoiced in your goodness and in your faithfulness. And now, O God, as we open up your word, Lord, send your spirit to indeed illuminate your word so that we might respond to you, O God, in accordance with what you desire. Lord, I pray that each one of us would simply have ears that are open to hear what you're saying today. Lord, you'd fill our hearts with your love. And Lord, you'd then give us hands to do your will. And we commit ourselves afresh to you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Well, One of the things that I discovered during the pandemic, by the way, can you imagine this, that I started as district superintendent. 10 days later, the governor announced that we were in a lockdown. I was even afraid to go to the office because I figured I was going to get arrested going to the office. Any of you had that experience? That was an interesting. I sometimes would sit in my office and look out the window, and I'd see a police car go by, and I think, oh, I better hide. You know, I better close the curtains in a hurry because I'm not supposed to be in the office, although I was doing essential work. At least I thought it was essential anyways. But during the time of the pandemic, life changed, right? Church changed, everything changed. And we're kind of coming out of the pandemic, although I would never have imagined that 2 years later, many of us would still be wearing masks in public settings. I mean, it's just hard to really put your head around all of that. But as we're coming out of the pandemic, it's a good reminder to us of why we exist as a church. What is God primarily and fundamentally called us toward? And so I want to ask the question this morning, why does the church exist? Why does your church exist? And I thank God for this church, but why does it exist? And I would like to suggest to you this morning that primarily we exist to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite literally, to establish an earthly family of brothers and sisters. Some have put it this way, the saints below in union with the saints above. And that's a great topic that we could discuss at some other time, but I won't go into great detail on that this morning. But simply to remind us that we are part of a family that God is establishing here on earth that's also being established in heaven. Now, the gospel writer, Matthew, records for us these words that we call the Great Commission. They're found in the 28th chapter, and we begin to read at the 18th verse in just a moment. But these words come in a context. And you'll remember that Jesus was literally, truly crucified. We celebrated that on Good Friday a few weeks ago. And then Christ truly was buried. There is no mythology. Christ literally was buried. But we also know, and we celebrated this on the 18th of April a few weeks ago, he rose from the dead, right? And he is alive right now. And he is most assuredly in our midst. The Bible says, when two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So Jesus is in our midst right now this morning. And so the context of the 28th chapter of Matthew is, of course, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But also, we remember that as Jesus rose from the dead, he would soon ascend to be with his Father in heaven. And so he gathered his 11 together. You remember he originally had 12, but now Judas had committed suicide, and so there were only 11. And they gathered together back in Galilee. And as they gathered together in the context of worship, what you were doing a few minutes ago, worshiping the Lord with song, in the context of worship, Jesus prepared his disciples for his ultimate departure, his ascension, to be back into the presence of his Father in heaven. And so that's the context of the words that we're going to read from Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and if you've got the Bible on your phone, you're welcome to look at it. The words are also going to come on the screen. And so beginning then to read at verse 18, and we read there, "And Jesus came and said to them," that's the 11, by the way, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Think about that for a moment. Jesus had all authority, both in heaven and here on earth. And therefore, verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The Greek word there is the word ethnos, of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 20, teaching them to what? "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we have the Great Commission followed at the end of verse 20 with the great promise, the assurance that Jesus will be with us always, till all time, or through all time, to the very end of the age. Now, these words are his final words, the words of Jesus before his ascension, and therefore they must be of great importance. I had a friend recently whose mother had passed away, and on a Monday morning, she was buried on a Sunday afternoon, and on Monday morning, they gathered together for the reading of the will. Now, I didn't know anybody did that anymore. I thought that was just something you saw on television. But they actually gathered together for the reading of the will, and this was very important. All the family was to be present because these were mother's final words. These were her instructions to her children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and relatives. And they declared her intentions concerning her money and concerning her possessions. By the way, I found out that the family was a little surprised by some of the things that she instructed. They hadn't quite anticipated them. Well, we're not surprised by the words of Jesus because they are provided for us in clear, living color. And we are going to look at them here for a few minutes this morning. So this great commission in Matthew chapter 28 contains one imperative. Now, this imperative, we'll come back to in a moment, is obviously a command. It's something we're supposed to do. And this imperative is accompanied by three participles. Now, I assure you, you're not going to get an English grammar lesson this morning. But these participles are descriptions of how we are to fulfill the command. Now, I want you just briefly to think about an imperative. You know, an imperative or a command is something we are supposed to what? Do. Can we all say that together? It's something we are to do. How many of you are parents here today? You don't have to put up your hands, but some of you are. So if you ask your children to make their bed, you expect them to what? Do it, right? Just do it. Now, some of you have younger children. You've asked them to do things. Our sister here is smiling, and she knows what happens, right? They just don't do it. But if you're a parent, I'm not only a parent, I'm a grandparent, you expect them to do it. And so Jesus gives to us one command that he expects us to fulfill. And this command is very straightforward. It's there in the center of verse 19, not quite the center, but almost the center, and it's simply make disciples. So the imperative here, the command here, is that you and I are to make disciples. Now, I don't know what your reaction is, but my reaction is, Jesus, you got to be kidding. You expect little old me to make disciples? Why, isn't that the work of God? And yet, here's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and therefore he's speaking to those of us who are his disciples today, and he's giving to us this command. We are to make disciples. Now, we do this in a variety of ways, and I'm going to describe this for us in a moment through the what I call the three participles, the three how you do it kind of words. But as I come to them, I just want to say to you, first of all, a big thank you. Do you know that your church is a faithful partner with God, with what God is doing around the world? You contribute significantly to the Great Commission Fund of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And lives are being changed because of your prayers and your gifts. But you're also contributing to what God is doing in our district, the Central Pacific District, of which you're a member church, approximately 90 churches. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how your partnership in prayer and in finances is reaping a harvest. We'll come to that in just a moment. So let's come back, though, to these three descriptions, these participles, in terms of how we fulfill this command to make disciples. Well, the first looks, again, like a command. It's there at the beginning of verse 19, and it says, "Go, therefore." Well, in the original language of the New Testament, most of the New Testament was written in Greek, it actually can be rendered this way, as you are going. As you are going, make disciples. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Can you put yourself into that verse? So as you are going to the store, make disciples. As you are going to school, make disciples. As you are going to work, make disciples. As you are going into your neighborhood, make disciples. As you are going through your prayers and you're sending to the state of California, make disciples. As you are going through your prayers and you're giving to the entire country of the United States, make disciples. And then as you are going to the whole world and you do that through your prayers and your giving, make disciples. Now, I'm not the smartest person. I often say I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, which is absolutely true. But you know something? When I think about that, I realize it's possible because I go to a variety of places. Recently, I was shopping in a grocery store in West Sacramento where I live. And as I was going through the checkout, I noticed the young man had a cross on. So I thought to myself, I've got a bridge to see about making a disciple here. So I asked him about the cross, and he began to describe to me why he was wearing a cross. Now, obviously, he's checking people's groceries, so I can't have a lengthy conversation, but it was just a little bridge that God gave to me. And he gives you the same kinds of bridges at any moment. You just have to look and see what opportunity God might have before you. So we make disciples by going. You are invited by God through Jesus Christ to make disciples as you are going. You know, in our district, we've discovered that one of the effective ways of making disciples is actually by planting new churches. And your prayers and your giving are part of what God is doing. I'm thinking this morning about Ministerial Agape in South Sacramento. Do you know that they are meeting on Sunday afternoons? They'll meet this afternoon. Pastor Pedro is their shepherd, and they're meeting in a Hmong congregation called Eternal Life. So think about the beauty of that. We have a Hmong congregation in a neighborhood, by the way, that's predominantly Hispanic, and now we have a Hispanic church plant there called Ministerio Agape. You're part of that. Thank you. And then our Eternal Life congregation, they weren't content to just have one place where they were reaching people for Jesus. No, they're seeking to plant a ministry in Elk Grove called the Lighthouse Church. And so they've given Pastor Jerry from their congregation to begin to reach people of a Hmong background, using English, of course, but to reach them with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're part of that by your prayers and by your giving. And then as we go, we'll walk our way over. Well, maybe we'll drive our way over or fly our way over to Utah. And in Salt Lake City, to my absolute shock, what did God do? He introduced us to a Congolese brother, Pastor Emil, and he has a burden for his refugee friends from the Congo. And so now we have a Congolese ministry in Murray, Utah called Cross Power Generation Ministry, using an indigenous language, a Congolese language, reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that blow you away? If that doesn't blow you away, it certainly blew me away, because in Utah, you know, I don't think about Congolese refugees, but God is at work. And we are making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ as we are going even into a place like Murray, Utah. Well, God is at work as well, by the way, as we are going to eventually go to the Big Island in Hawaii. And that's probably a year away in terms of launching, but Pastor Mike and his wife from Sacramento, they'll be moving over to Hawaii at the end of this month to serve in one of our churches there as interim pastor. But the whole goal is that they will establish a core group to go onto the Big Island and plant a church for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why are we doing this? Why did God call us to make disciples as we are going? Because lost people matter to God, and He wants them found. It's one of the core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so I want you to be praying even as I'm talking right now. Who is God calling you toward? Is it in your school? Is it in your place of work? Is it in the store where you shop? Oh, that we would have eyes to see what God is calling us toward as we seek to make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll notice that the second participle, or the second description of how we make disciples, is that we make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. John described for us a moment ago about someone who was recently baptized who's going to LA. And you know, we think of baptism often in the Christian Missionary Alliance in terms of what happens when people express that they are followers of Jesus Christ by being taken down into water. But here's the truth. Do you know something? That water does not save you. I can take you down into the water once, twice, 100 times, and if you've not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, all you do is get wet. Right? All you do is get wet. But if you've been immersed in Jesus first and foremost, the outward is simply a description of the inward. So that leads me to talk to you about this word baptize. The word baptize is actually from a Greek word. You didn't know you were going to get a Greek lesson today, but it's from a Greek word baptizio. And the word baptizio simply means to immerse. And so we are inviting people to Jesus that they would be immersed in him. The scriptures, the Apostle Paul describes for us this immersion when he says, in him, that is in Jesus, we what? Live and move and have our being. I was on a plane recently, and the gentleman across the aisle from me had on a t-shirt promoting his favorite team. We got talking about it. Do you know why he's wearing that t-shirt? Because he's immersed in his team. And as we got talking about it, he could tell me about where certain people lived who were on that team. It's a professional team. And he knew more about it than I knew about it by a long shot, because he's immersed in it. We want people to be immersed in Jesus. In John's gospel, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he discovers that in order to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he needs to be what is called born again. And Jesus tells him that he needs to be born of water and the Spirit. He's going to be immersed in Jesus. Are you immersed in Jesus today? Are you immersed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can be. If you're here today and you've never experienced Jesus Christ as your Savior, I have good news for you today. You can simply repent. That means turn from your sins. That's following your own way. And you can experience forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And you can be what the Bible says, born again. And you can be immersed in Jesus Christ. And it could be said of you, in him we live and we move and we have our being. And if you're here today and you've never done that, I invite you, even as I pray in a few moments, to simply pray that prayer and to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ in your life. Well, not only are we seeking to immerse people in Jesus in San Jose and in the Central Pacific District, but I think of what God is doing around the world. Did you know that Taiwan recently made English as their second official language? And so we have a ministry through the Christian Missionary Alliance that's supported through the Great Commission Fund of the Christian Missionary Alliance. So when you give and when you pray, you're part of supporting that ministry. The ministry is called Aroma Coffee. Now, Aroma Coffee is a place where people can come and they can get to know one another and they can learn English. And they have decided to ramp it up in a big way because with this second language now being officially English, many people want to do what? They want to learn to speak English. Does that make sense to you today? And so, do you know what their goal is? That in the next 10 years, they will introduce 100,000 people to Jesus Christ. Wow. I don't know about you, but I get a little bug-eyed when I think about 100,000 people being introduced to Jesus Christ. But that's their goal, because lost people matter to God and he wants them found. And what a platform, what an opportunity, friends. In a country where now English is the second official language, people want to learn the language. And as they come to learn the language of English, they will learn to love Jesus. And that's their goal. Well, thirdly, the third way we go about making disciples is by verse 20, teaching them to what? Observe Or you could insert, some translations use the word obey there. It's perfectly acceptable. Teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. So as you are going, you make disciples, friends, by introducing people to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to describe how you can do that in just a moment. And we do so that they might live in Christ, as we said a moment ago. And then we teach them to obey all or everything that Christ has commanded. Now, I don't know your experience, but my experience has been that we have an overemphasis in the American church on teaching and an underemphasis on obedience. You see, we don't teach so that people's heads get thicker or fuller. Now, if I'm going to have surgery, I'm hoping and praying that the surgeon has some brain knowledge. Otherwise, I'm not going to submit to his knife, right? That makes sense? But you know something, when you are called someday into the presence of Jesus, you're not going to be asked how many verses of the Bible you memorized. Now, I'm all for memorizing Bible verses. I'm not suggesting that's not good to do. But you know what you are going to be asked? What did you do with what you knew? Did you obey it? Did you observe it? Did you put it into practice? So we teach people to observe or to obey all that Christ has commanded us. These are the last words of Jesus before he ascended to be with his Father in heaven. And friends, if they're his last words, they're important. They're very important. And they remind us this morning that basic to the life of the local church is making disciples. I'm looking forward to lunch today. Thank you, John, for inviting me. I assume he invited me. I think you got an invitation as well. And lunch will be delicious today. And I'm getting hungry. I ate breakfast at 7 o'clock this morning, so I'm starting to get hungry. And you're saying to yourself, well, why don't you get that sermon over with, brother, and you're going to have your lunch. But as much as eating food is good and fun and will nourish us, oh, friends, so much more important is that we would make disciples of Jesus Christ. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ in your church? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ personally? Well, I am going to land this plane here in a moment, and I want to give you four ways that are Jesus' ways of making disciples. The first comes from John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Every single one of us can invite people to come and see Jesus. Every single one of us can do that. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have memorized a lot of verses. All you have to do is simply say, hey, come. Come and see Jesus. The first way that we make disciples of Jesus Christ is simply by inviting people to come and see Jesus. Simple. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then secondly, it's not enough just for people to come and see. No, we invite them to follow Jesus. And this comes to us from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. It will come up on the screen. And he said to them, that's Jesus, by the way, follow me and I will what? Make you fishers of men. Friends, every single one of us can ask people to follow Jesus. You say, but I don't know all of the details. That's not necessary. We simply ask people, we invite them to follow Jesus. There are people who are here this morning who have come because they're interested, because there's something that's drawing them, they want to see Jesus. I say to you today, if you're here in that place, follow Jesus. Don't just stop at coming and seeing him, follow him. Make him indeed your personal Savior. Make him your Lord as we said a moment ago, every single one of us have that opportunity to be immersed in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, as we invite people by calling them to come and see and then to follow Jesus, thirdly, Jesus takes us forward and he invites us to be with him. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might," what? "Be with him." You say, "Pastor Wayne, how can we be with Jesus?" Do you know that you can be with Jesus when you pray? The brothers and sisters in the Cantonese congregation were praying when I got here this morning. They were reading scripture and praying. It was beautiful. We can be with Jesus as we pray. We can be with Jesus as we read scripture. And yes, we can be with Jesus as we have fellowship. There's nothing wrong with fellowship. I'm all for fellowship. It's good. And we can be with Jesus as we are together as the body of Christ. So he brought them together to be with him, and he might, what? Send them out to preach. You say, "Oh, hold on, Pastor Wayne. I'm not interested in preaching. I'm not sure I'm called to do that." It's okay for you to do that, but I'm not sure this is what God's called me to. The call to make disciples is for every single one of us. There is a call to preach in a formal sense. I understand that. I've responded to that call. But the call of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we would be with him, that he would then send us out to make disciples. And every single one of us can do that. Are you being with Jesus in your life? Are you taking time with him each day, reading his word, praying? Every single one of us ought to have time each day when we read the word, when we pray, and we seek the face of God. I know we're to pray without ceasing, and we ought to do that. But oh, that we would have a specific time when we are deliberately and intentionally being with him. And then we go on into the fourth dynamic or dimension of how we are to make disciples, and that is simply we remain in him. This comes to us from John chapter 15 and verse 5. And we read in God's word that the Lord said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever," what? "Abides in me," or "remains in me, and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Do you know something? That it is the heart of Jesus that you would remain in him. The old hymn writer said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Have you been in that place? Maybe you're here this morning and you're wandering. In a group this large, there's bound to be some who have been wandering. And maybe you're here today and you don't think you could ever come back. I want you to know that Jesus calls you back. He calls you back. We're all prone to wander. And as the hymn writer said, we feel it. But the good news is that we can abide in him. And if we abide in him, as my Hispanic brothers and sisters say, we will, what? Bear muchos fruit. I like the way they say that. Muchos fruit. Not just a little bit of fruit, but a lot of fruit. Do you want to bear fruit? Do you want to see others come to know Jesus Christ? Do you want to make disciples? I know you do. Because it's the words of Jesus. It's his command to us. Therefore, I call you today, abide in him, remain in him. And if you've wandered today, he calls you back that you might remain in him afresh. Well, the Great Commission, as we read it a moment ago, concludes with the great promise. I am with you always to the end of the age. I've got great news for you this morning, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to leave you. You might be prone to wander. I've wandered. I know what it is to wander. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be with you always to the end of the age. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jesus did not leave us with an impossible task. No, he gave us a promise that he would be with us. And then on this Pentecost Sunday, do you know what I'm reminded of? That he's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us. Did you notice the text that was read for us this morning from Acts chapter 2? That the last verse says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you catch that? Oh, that was powerful. Thank you to that those dear folks that read that today. That just spoke deeply to me. Because the Great Commission is that we would what? Make disciples so that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in the context of what occurred on the day of Pentecost, it was the Holy Spirit came upon them that they would be empowered. Those early men and women would be empowered to make disciples. The Holy Spirit is still doing the same work today. Are you ready to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to make disciples. You can't do it on your own. It's an impossible task, even with the great promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. Oh, dear friends, the invitation of today, the invitation of Pentecost, is that you would be filled with his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, that you would make disciples here, there, and everywhere. And Jesus has given us these four simple steps. You can write those down. You can memorize them. They're so simple. They're so straightforward. If you're here this morning and you've come to see, but you've never followed Jesus, we're going to pray in a moment that you would follow Jesus. If you're here today and you've wandered this past week or you've wandered for the last month or whatever time, I also want to pray for you that you would come back. And if you're here today and you would say, I want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit to make disciples, I want to pray for you as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this, your word. Your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. And in the name, the strong name of Jesus, Lord, I want to pray for those who are here today who have come to see but have never taken that step of following Jesus. They've never yet been as John describes for us in the encounter with Nicodemus and Jesus. They've never been born of water and the Spirit. Right now, if you're in that position, in that place, you can simply acknowledge before God that you are a sinner, that you have not fulfilled all that God would want for you. And today, you just turn from that sin. You repent of it, is what the Bible calls it. You turn from it and then invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, and he will come into your life, and he will immerse you. You can pray that even as I'm praying right now. You can pray that, and Jesus Christ will come into your life, and he will immerse you in himself. And then if you're here today and you've wandered, I want you to know God loves you and that God is calling you back. And even now you can pray, Lord Jesus, I just come back to you right now. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me. I come back to you right now. I want to remain in you. And then for those of you who are here today, oh, my prayer, for those of you who would desire to make disciples, is that you would be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Lord, would you even right now, as we're praying in the name of Jesus, as we come to the Lord's table, oh Lord, would you fill with your Spirit, I pray. And I pray all of these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wayne. Let's prepare our hearts to observe the Lord's table before we close. As we come before him this afternoon, reflecting on what the Lord wants us to do to make disciples, but also even before we make disciples, remembering what Jesus has done on the cross for us 2,000 years ago, how we were all destined for hell, but because of Jesus' righteousness, because of the Father's love for us, that Jesus took our place, that his blood was shed for the remission of our sins, that instead of us being damned to hell, eternal separation from the Lord, that Jesus graciously, willingly, lovingly took our place. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the body of Jesus together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Let's drink from the cup together. Jesus, we come before you this afternoon, and we come with hearts of gratitude, hearts of thanksgiving, a heart of being in awe of why you would love a sinner like me. Jesus, we thank you that before we knew you, you first loved us. You sought us out. Your Holy Spirit wooed us into a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for dying on that cross 2,000 years ago, for substituting for me the death that I should have received, and willingly giving me your life, your blood, and a relationship with Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have called us your own, that you have called us your chosen, your sons and your daughters. But God, we thank you once more that you have not called us just for ourselves, but you have called us as a people of God, that together we can be empowered, we can be filled, we can together heed your command and make disciples. So Father, we thank you, Jesus, for the reminder today. We thank you for your gift. May we never take it for granted, even as we remember what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. As we close, I want to invite you to stand as we close with our response song. Let's continue to center our hearts on Jesus and just give him praise for what he has done.
My heart.
Spirit, we ask, God, for more of your presence today, more of your presence in our lives each day. Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you as an act of surrender, just to stretch out your hands to the Lord as an act of submission and obedience. God, we ask, God, that you would today come, Holy Spirit, and once again fall down upon your church, fall down upon your people. God, we cannot do this on our own. We cannot make disciples on our own. We cannot obey you on our own. Jesus, we thank you for the invitation that you have placed before us, that we not take you, your salvation for granted, but that we would join you in your work here locally, but also around the world, that you have invited us to go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. Father, we ask, God, that you would come. Holy Spirit, come. Fall afresh on us. Empower us with your boldness, with your words, with your love, with your compassion, with your mercy. Jesus, we ask, Lord, that we would be a people used by you. We would be a people set on fire, not because of our intellect, but because of the passion of Jesus Christ. So God, we ask, Lord, that you would pour down your heart into our hearts today. Lord, that lost people would matter to you, to us. Lost people would not only matter to you, but lost people would also matter to us, Jesus, today. Father, we ask, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, that, Lord, we would see the opportunities that you are placing before us in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our families, in the checkout line. God, wherever you call us to go, Lord, we want to be ready, we want to be willing, we want to be obedient, and we want to be faithful. Jesus, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Jesus, for your kindness, for your grace. And we ask, Lord, that you would once again empower us to go from here. God, we thank you for calling us together as a body, that we can share not only in your Lord's table today, but that we can also break bread for lunch. Lord, we ask that you would bless the food before us. Lord, bless our time of fellowship as we eat together, as we share with one another what you are doing in our midst. God, we thank you for this body here locally that you have given to us. And we ask, God, that you would be glorified, that you would be edified, Lord, that you would edify your church today as we go from here. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, for it's in your most precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.